celebrate that last song. Let's give God just a little bit of applause. He's deserving of what He has done. I think about what heaven will be like one day. You know, we will be singing holy, holy, holy. But man, there's times you just want to applaud for who God is and what He's done. Think about how crazy this is. We celebrate the death of our Savior, our Lord, our King. We celebrate that. Isn't that crazy? I mean, for a lot of people, they may look at that and go, why do they celebrate the cross of Jesus Christ? Why do they celebrate the death of their Savior? Why do they celebrate the death of their King? They call Him Lord and Savior, but yet we celebrate His death. It's because of the resurrection we can do that. See, all of the religions, all of the teachings out there, when their leader or whatever died, that was it. That was it. And so they would grieve it. And so it would make sense to grieve the death or whatever. But for us on this side, we get to read the scriptures. We are after the resurrection. We get to see the story afterwards. We realize, you know what? The death did not hold Him. The grave did not hold Him. The cross could not hold Him. He chose to lay down His life on that cross. But the cool thing about it is we get to celebrate the cross of Christ because of the power of the resurrection. Because we know He is alive. He has risen. Amen? I mean, that's the cool thing about that. We get to celebrate the death only because we know it was only temporary. So here's the thing. Jesus really did die. He died on the cross. He was nailed to the cross. He laid down His life on the cross for your sin and for my sin. And He bled out His precious blood for your sin and for my sin to cover a debt that we could not pay. And so we celebrate what He did because He's the only one that could. You know, one of the things that we do is we take what once was the most humiliating, most horrible way to die, the cross, we make jewelry out of it. And we celebrate the cross of Christ because of the power of the resurrection, because of an empty tomb. I want you to take out your outlines, if you will, and kind of follow along. You know, and you think about the ladies as they approach the tomb on that early Easter morn. You know, every Easter Sunday, I always think about, you know, I always think back to Sandy Patty's old song. It was a morning like this. Y'all remember that? Some of you old folks, y'all remember that? And so that was a powerful song. And so I always think about, I wonder what it was like. And so I always envision what it would have been like for them to walk up to the tomb and the stone is rolled out of the way and that whole scenario, what it would have been like. And so here they are. Now understand, they're grieving because they haven't seen a leader who's been resurrected before. They've never experienced a resurrection like this. They've never seen it. They've seen Lazarus, yes. But you know what? Jesus did that. But this was Jesus who died on the cross and was laid in the tomb. And so it's a little bit different for them. Lazarus, yeah, we get that because Jesus did that. But we watched Jesus die on the cross. And so here they are. Let's read out of Luke chapter 24 here. It says, but very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they were taking the spices. Why? Because there was the stench. And it was to help with the stench and everything that went along with a dead body. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. And so they went in, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. And as they stood there puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified and bowed with their faces to the ground. And then the men asked, why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Remember what He told you back in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that He would rise again on the third day. Then they remembered what He had said, that He had said this. So they rushed back from the tomb to tell His 11 disciples and everyone else what had happened. And so here's the story. I mean, they're coming up to the tomb. You know, and they're distraught, they're downcast, they're broken, and they're grieving. They're grieving the loss of their Lord. They're grieving the loss of their leader. And so as they're approaching the tomb, they're upset, and they're bringing these spices, and they get there, and they see the tomb is rolled away, or the stone is rolled away. And you can only imagine what they begin to think then. They've taken the Lord's body. But these angels appear and confirm and validate what Jesus had said. And it changed in a moment, just like that. And so it went from grieving the death to hearing the story, being reminded of what had been told to them, that they ran back to tell all that they had seen. And so the first point is this, remember what He told you. Remember what He told you. That's pretty much what the disciples, what the angels were saying to the ladies there. Said, hey, listen, remember what he told you in Galilee? Remember what he had said there in Galilee? Remember he said that he would have to suffer? Remember he said that he would be crucified? Remember he said that he would rise on the third day? And then they remembered what he had said. And so I want you guys to understand, here's the thing, is if we will just remember what we already know sometimes, a lot of times we already know the truth. There are many of you in here today, man, you already know a lot about Scripture. But we don't always act on that. We don't always follow that. We don't always live our life out the way that we know and that we have heard and that we've been taught. We often choose a different path. And so most of us in this room, we know that, you know what? That Jesus is resurrected. We know that Jesus died on the cross. But we know that he taught about a lot of other things as well. So I want us to look at some of those things today. But I want us to look at what Jesus said. This is some of Jesus' teachings here. It says, building on a solid foundation. Look at what it says in Matthew 7, 24 through 29. It says, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise. Now, number one, there's two parts to that. The first one says, anyone who listens to my teaching. All right, so hopefully that's most of you in here. You'll listen to his teaching today because we're going to talk about the teachings of Jesus. So you'll hear the teachings of Jesus. So you'll hear it with your ear. But look at the second part. It says, and follows it is wise. So in other words, there is an action part of that. You get to hear it. But the other thing is you have to follow it. You have to apply it. You have to live it out. Then you're wise. Like a person who builds a house on a solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on a bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching, now here's another one, second, two parts to it. Anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish. Like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and the floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. And when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he taught with real authority, quite unlike their teachers of religious law. So here we see where Jesus is saying, hey, listen, I want to teach you something. Number one is, he who hears my words, hears my teachings, and follows them, does them, lives them out, applies them, is wise. But he who hears them and does not follow them, or does not apply them, does not live them out, is foolish. Because you're building your life on something else other than Jesus Christ. You're building your life on something else other than the teachings of Jesus Christ. And here's the thing you have to understand. The teachings of Jesus, the Word of God, John tells us that the Word became flesh. That's Jesus. And so Jesus is literally the Word of God that has become flesh and has dwelt among us. That would go to the cross and would die for us. So Jesus' teachings are a solid rock for us to build our lives on. And so moms and dads, I would just say this. If you're wanting to build your family on a solid foundation, build it on the Word of God. If you want to build on a solid foundation, build it on Jesus. And so there's nothing, just what Jesus is saying. He's, listen, if you want a solid foundation, then hear what I'm saying and follow it. And there's many of us in here, we'll hear something and we'll go, boy, that's good. Man, that's a good statement. Boy, that's a good word. That's a good teaching. But then we walk out and we won't apply it. And so we become foolish because we've just heard the truth, because the truth is God's Word. We've heard the truth, but yet we go and we buy into some lie. And we sell ourselves short, and we build our families and our relationships and our marriages on feelings and emotions and other things rather than on the Word of God. And so let's look at some of the teachings. The teachings of Jesus are a solid foundation for me and my family to build upon. You know, I want you guys to understand, if you're wanting to walk out here today and build, and you want your relationships to be solid, you want to have a solid marriage, you want to have solid relationships with your kids or your mom or your dad or whatever, you want to have solid relationships that you feel like are healthy and whole and vibrant and full of life. If you want to have those type of relationships, then you really need to build on a solid foundation. And so the teachings of Jesus are a solid foundation for me and my family to build upon. So let's look at some of these. Now I want you to understand, everything that Jesus taught was important. Everything that he taught was powerful. Everything that he said was key. So I want you to understand, so we picked out only just a few of these that we're going to look at today that I think are some solid cornerstones for our families, solid cornerstones for our relationships. And so I want us to take a couple of these and we're going to look at them. But remember, all of Jesus' teachings are important. All of them are vital. But these are major cornerstones. So a guy was trying to test Jesus, try to trap him or whatever. And he asked him a question. He said, what's the most important commandment? And so the first one, here's one of the teachings that Jesus gave us. It's the most important commandment. So the lawyer asked him a question, testing him. Teacher, which is the most important commandment? And he said to him, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There's no greater commandment than these two. All right, so here we go. Jesus is giving us a teaching. So if we want to build on a solid foundation, then we have to listen to what Jesus taught here, and we have to apply this, and we have to follow this. So a lawyer asked him again, hey, what is the greatest commandment? And he tells you, love the Lord your God with all your heart. That's with, man, in other words, that there is passion for you, in you for God, that you love God. And you want to be in the middle of whatever he's doing. You want to worship him. You don't have to get somebody to work you up into a frenzy to worship him. But man, you're literally having to hold back your worship because you're so in love with God. Man, you want to honor him. You want to glorify him. You want to give him applause. You want to celebrate who he is because you love him. Because see, that's the way we are with our kids sometimes. We love our kids. We don't have to get worked up to love our kids. But the thing is we're to love God with all of our heart. And it says, with all of your soul, that means with everything that's in you, every ounce of your fiber, at your deepest core, is to love God with everything that's in you, your heart, your soul, and your mind. And so how have you loved God with your mind this past week? How have you loved God with your mind? Have you loved him with your heart? Have you loved him with your very soul? Have you loved him with your mind? Have you thought on the things of God? Have you thought on the teachings of Christ? Have you thought on the Word of God? Have you thought on those things? Have you kind of listened to maybe the things of this world? And you thought on the things that you want. And you thought on the things that you lust after. And you thought on the things that maybe somebody else has got rather than what you are thankful for. And so what is it that you've thought on? Have you loved God with your mind? And look at the last one there. It says to love God with all of your mind and with all of your strength. All of your strength. And so you tell me, I mean, most of us, when we think of strength, we think of what? Physical, our physical strength. There's mental strength. I understand being mentally tough, mentally strong. But the thing is, maybe even emotionally strong. But here's the thing is, have you loved God? Have you used your hands? Have you used your body? Have you used your voice? Have you used your body or strength or physical strength or emotional strength or anything to really love God this week? Have you served someone? Have you washed someone's feet? You might go, wash somebody's feet. See, that's serving them. It's caring for them. It's taking care of a need maybe that they can't take care of. Is there someone that you've blessed this past week? Maybe it's just giving them an encouraging word. Maybe it's just speaking life over them. And so have you, and just ask yourself, have I loved God with everything that's in me? Have I loved him this week? Have I loved him any in my life? Have I loved him at all? And there may be some of you in here that you go, man, I don't line up with that teaching. I don't follow that teaching. I know it sounds good. I know you're supposed to love God. I know you're supposed to love others. But I don't know if I follow that teaching. And there's lots of Christians that, man, they agree with that. That is Jesus' teaching. But they don't follow that because they don't love God. They love other things more than they love God. And they don't really love their neighbor. We look for reasons to put our neighbor down and to make fun of them or to belittle them or to get aggravated with them. But the Bible says that we're to love our neighbor. And our neighbor is our coworker, classmate, friends. Maybe it literally is your neighbor, the people in your neighborhood. That guy that aggravates you so much in your neighborhood because he doesn't cut his grass or he doesn't do whatever, the Bible says to love him. And to love him as you love yourself. And if you love your own yard so much, go cut their yard for them. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's things you can do to show that, you know what, I love them. A new command. Let's look at the second one. So that's the most important commandment that we're given by Jesus. So that's one of Jesus' teachings right there. Here's a second teaching that Jesus had. It says a new command. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you. That you also love one another. He says that twice there. By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Now here's what I love about baptism a while ago. Baptism is a great picture of the resurrection. Because we're being buried with Christ in baptism, being raised to walk in the newness of life. And so we watched these girls go through the waters of baptism, and they're going public. They're letting everybody know, hey, listen, man, Christ lives within me. Yes, I've given my life to Christ. I'm being baptized, being raised, being resurrected, if you will, from a life of living for myself, and it was all about me, to I want to live for God from this point forward. And so here's the thing. They're saying, hey, listen, I want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. I want to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And so whenever we move to that point, so in other words, baptism is not the end, like they gave their life to Christ, they got baptized, now everything's good. No, that's the first step of obedience in a long path of steps. So understand that for every one of us in here, if you go, man, I got baptized, and you know, that's kind of where it stopped, you have missed what Jesus is teaching. Jesus said, if you're going to be my disciple, you have to follow me. And there's multiple steps in this thing. Now, not that your salvation is required to go through all these steps, but the evidence of the fact that you truly got saved is the fact that you become his disciple. You follow him. So a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you. All right, now let's pause right there for a second. We just got through talking about how we celebrate the cross of Jesus Christ. We celebrate the crucifixion. We celebrate the fact that Jesus went through a scourging, through a beating, through the cat of nine tails, his back being ripped to shreds, literally being pierced for our transgressions. We celebrate that because we know about the resurrection. And so if we read this, if we go, all right, he's saying to love one another the way that he loved us. He loved us enough to know that he was going to have to go through that he still went there. So what Jesus is telling you and me, hey, listen, I want you to love one another the way that I have loved you, unconditionally. I want you to love one another the way that I have loved you, that I've been willing to sacrifice, that I've been willing to lay my life down. I've been willing to give up what is mine. The Bible says that he gave up heaven to come here to pay for your sin and my sin. And so what Jesus is teaching us right here in this teaching is, hey, listen, I want you to love one another the way that I loved you. So let me ask you, do you line up with that teaching? Do you follow that teaching? Or do you just hear it, but you don't really apply it, and you don't really follow it? So therefore, you're foolish, or are you wise? See, if you hear that teaching and you follow that teaching, you're wise. Because you're teaching your family. You're teaching your family how to love the way that Christ loved us. So a new command he gave us. Love one another even as I have loved you. And then listen to this. It says that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you're my disciples if you have love for one another. You know the way that the world knows if we're Christians or not? Is how much we love one another. That's what Jesus said. That's his teaching. It's not by the fact that we walk around with a sign around our neck or a bumper sticker on our car or, you know, Christian ichthus or whatever it might be, or a cross or whatever. But the way that the world would know that we're truly believers is how much we love one another and care for one another. That's part of our witness. It's how we love one another. Let's look at the next one here, Christ's mission. This is one of his teachings. See, Christ was on mission. We're to be on mission. If we're followers of Christ, if we're disciples of Christ, we're to follow him, right? So we hear his teaching, and then we follow his example. And so Christ's mission, he says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. Let me just say what good news means. Good news, gospel means good news. Gospel means good news. But if you ever hear someone say the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus Christ, the good news that he went to the cross so that you don't have to, the good news is that you can be born again, you can be right with God, you can go to heaven. That's the good news. So this past week, me and a bunch of pastor friends, you know, I was texting them and I was just saying, listen, man, I want you to know I'm praying for you and I'm praying for the gospel to be preached. That's the good news of Christ. And so here's Jesus saying the same thing. Let me read it again. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim what? Good news, the gospel. Good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And so that's Jesus' mission. He said, that is why I'm here. I want to do what honors the Father. I want to live in such a way that brings glory to him. And so here is Jesus saying, hey, this is my mission. So I would just say to us, if we hear that, then we go, you know what? I want to be a follower of Christ. I don't want to just claim to be a Christian, go to church, and that's all I've got. I want to be a follower of Christ. Then I need to understand what this mission is, and I want to line up with that, and I want to make sure that I proclaim the good news, the gospel, every chance I get. But he says, he has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed and proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. You might be sitting there thinking, Mike, you know, I'm not in prison. I'm in here. But see, there's so many of you that sit in here that struggle with bondage. You see, maybe that bondage is some type of addiction. Maybe you're addicted to alcohol or pornography. Or maybe you're addicted to drugs. Or maybe you're just addicted to food or whatever it might be. I mean, there's all kinds of things that it could be. Maybe you're caught up in bondage because you can't seem to forgive someone who has wounded you, maybe back in the past, maybe even as a child. You live in bondage to something that, you know what, God wants you to be set free of. And listen to what Jesus said again now. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Talking about Him. Because He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed and proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. The year of the Lord's favor was, you know what, Jesus came to cover my sins, to cover your sins, and to give us freedom. Too often there's Christians that live in bondage, that live in, you know, in turmoil. And Jesus died that you might be set free. He came that we might have abundant life. So let's look at this next one here. What about caring for the needy? We know there's needy people around us. There's, you know, some of y'all are probably sitting by somebody saying, man, this person is needy right here. Boy, man, you know, whatever. We can talk about that. But there's needs around us. There's real needs. So what did Jesus teach about caring for the needy? He says it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, all of us in here hear that, right? Did everybody hear that? Let me say it again just so you make sure you hear it. It is more blessed to give than to receive. But how many of you actually apply that? Because a lot of you sitting here and you go, you know, my love language is gifts. So it's okay for me to want rather than to give. It's not what Jesus taught. I know Gary Smalley may talk about that, but I'm just saying, in here it says it is more blessed to give than to receive. So in other words, our mentality ought to be, how can I bless somebody? How can I give to someone? How can I, you know, just encourage someone rather than making it about me? So let me ask you, do you line up with that teaching that Jesus gave us to where you really do go, you know what, man, I want to bless somebody. Not I want somebody to bless me. I want somebody to give to me. I want somebody to take care of me. It says, and come, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. And I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. And I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. And I was ill, and you looked after me. And I was in prison, and you came to visit me. One of them asked, Jesus, when did that happen? He says, whenever you did it for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me. So just think about this. Those people that maybe that are needy around you. I know for many of us, the first thing that pops in our mind is the homeless person on the corner that holds up the little sign that says, we'll work for food. But it's more than just that. It's the people around you who need a word of encouragement. Maybe it's someone who just needs some help. Maybe it's someone who's just struggling. You know, but here's the thing is, maybe we just get an opportunity to bless somebody. Today, you know, we'll go to restaurants and stuff. There may be a waitress or a waiter in there that just needs a word of encouragement. Or maybe just God tells you just to bless them. And you bless them. I was thinking about yesterday. Yesterday was, everybody was shopping and buying Easter clothes and stuff like that. And so there's a lot of clerks and retail stores that were working really hard, and they probably had to put in extra hours this past weekend for us to all get dressed up and come to church on Sunday. What if we'd have walked up and said, hey, listen, you look like you're having a tough day. I just want to bless you with this gift card to Walmart. Or here, go get a coffee and just enjoy that, man. I can tell you're working hard. You know, and maybe they just need a blessing. And let me tell you, that's a need in some people. And you bless them with that need. In other words, instead of you getting something, you're giving something. So that's one of Jesus' teachings is that we're to care for the needy. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Now, like I said, we can hear that and not follow that. And I would say that most of America hears that, but they don't follow that. Because we all want someone to meet our need. The crazy thing about Christianity is whenever I get outside of myself and I look to meet the needs of the others around me, the people that God's put around me, He meets my needs. See, whenever I die to self, and we're going to talk about that in just a second. When I die to self and I begin to think about the people around me and I meet the needs in their life, God meets the needs in mine. So let's look at self-sacrifice. This is one of Jesus' teachings here. He says, those who would be my disciples, again, here we are. Are we going to be followers of Christ, disciples of Christ? Must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and the gospel will save it. What good is it for you to gain the whole world yet forfeit your soul? Or what can you give in exchange for your soul? There's nothing any of you guys can give. Nothing I can give for my soul. My greatest deed, the Bible says, is like a filthy rag. The day that I go and I help as a volunteer and I feed the hungry and all those things, those are good things and it'll make a difference in the lives of people. But let me just tell you this. When it comes to me kind of building up a credit account with God and making me right and right standing with God, it's like filthy rags. It's not enough. God's standard is perfection, and the only one that was perfect is Jesus. And so Jesus is the only sacrifice, the only lamb that could have been slain that would cover the debt of the world and the sin debt that we all have. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short. We've all messed up. And so here he's saying, those who would be my disciples must deny themselves. And if we go back over here to the greatest commandment, it says, love God with everything that's in you. So in other words, we're to love God and then love others as yourself. It doesn't say to love you so much. It doesn't say make it all about you. It says make it about God and make it about others. Love God, love others. Serve God and serve others. That's what he teaches us. And so here it was self-sacrifice. And let me tell you, in this culture, that's not what we always hear. A lot of times we say, well, you know what? You need to do what makes you feel good. You need to do what you want. You know, think about yourself some. You need to, you know, pamper yourself. And so we make it all about us, where Jesus says it's not about you, but it's about loving God and loving others. And so self-sacrifice. And then what did he teach us about the Great Commission? Many of you know what the Great Commission is. It comes out of Matthew 28. And it talks about our marching orders, if you would, as a believer, as a follower of Christ, as a Christian, as a disciple of Jesus, is that we would say, all right, Jesus literally gives this commission to the disciples right before the ascension. And it's kind of the command, it's the commission, if you would. Hey, this is what I want you guys to go do. These are your marching orders. And look at what he says. It says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. So go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Just what we did this morning. Teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. There it goes again. He's wanting us to follow his teaching. Not just hear it, but follow his teaching. Teaching them to observe or to obey or to live out, to apply all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And so here Jesus is teaching us, hey, he said, hey, church, he goes, I want you to, as you are going, to make disciples. And I want you to teach people. I want you to share with them how they can be in right standing with God the Father. I want you to share your story. I want you to share the gospel. I want you to share the good news. And it's easy sometimes for us to look at some of this stuff and go, man, that's great. But Mike, you know, I don't really feel like God's calling me to be a missionary. That's okay. Because see, God's calling some of you to be doctors and lawyers. He's calling some of you to be businessmen. He's calling some of you to be teachers. Some of you to be stay-at-home moms or whatever it might be. And so God is calling you to whatever it might be. He's saying, hey, listen, whatever you do, do it in denial of self, and so that you do it in such a way that it brings glory and honor to God. You can be a stay-at-home mom and be the godliest lady around, pouring into the lives of people around you. You can be a lawyer and still be God. I know some of y'all are wondering about that, but I'm telling you can still be a godly person and be a lawyer. And so the thing is if God has said, hey, that's what I want you to do, then go be that. But everything that you do it as unto the Lord, no matter what you're going to be. Somebody said something about, hey, man, we need Christian politicians. Yes, we do. We need godly men leading our country. We need godly men leading our cities. We need godly people. And so the thing is live out your faith at whatever you are doing. Say, you know what, man, whatever God has given me to do, I'm going to do it in such a way that it brings glory and honor to his name. I want to deny self. And I want to live for him. And God will bless you. And he will use you as a witness for him. And so even as a great commission, as you are, here's a cool thing I love about that. You don't have to go to be a missionary in a foreign land to carry out the Great Commission. You can be a missionary in your school. You can be a missionary in your job. Wherever you might work, your company, whatever it might. God puts light in dark places. And he's put you there as a missionary to share your faith. But here's the thing, is you've got to be obedient to apply it and to live it out, not just hear it and agree with it. So we're called to be on the Great Commission. Now, some will go and be missionaries. Some will go to far ends of the earth to carry out the Great Commission. Let's look at this next one here. The love of the Father. This is one of Jesus' teachings. He's talking in John, the Gospel of John here, and he's talking about, he says, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. If you're not familiar with that story, people had gotten sick because of these snakes, and so they created this bronze thing, and he had to hold it up, and when people would see it, they were healed. And so Jesus says kind of like that. You know, whenever the snake was held up, everybody was healed. Here's the thing. There's going to be eternal healing when Jesus, the Son of Man, is held up on a stick. In other words, the cross. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, the Son of Man must be lifted up. that everyone who believes may have eternal life in Him. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. So the love of the Father is shown right here. And this is Jesus teaching and talking. And like I said, He's talking about Moses. And most of you guys who are in healthcare, you've seen the snakes on the rod or whatever. It's a sign of healthcare. You see it in a lot of healthcare things. The snakes on the thing. That's what it comes from. It's from Moses there holding up that deal. Well, here's Jesus going to be on the cross. And He said, just like that snake was held up and it brought healing, this will bring healing for eternity. This will heal the gap between God and man. This will bring the two together. And so Jesus would bridge that gap. But He's talking about the love of the Father. Look at what He says. And we all know this, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. And so we know that. Most of us memorize that as kids. And we know, you know what? God loves us. He loved this world enough that He would send His Son through that type of torment. He would send His Son through that type of punishment. That's how much He loves us. Now let me ask any dad or mom in here. You think about your son. If everybody in this room, their life was dependent on your son dying, how many of you would love these people that much to let your son die so that they might live? That's the love most of us can't get our mind around. But God loved us that much. But it doesn't end there. Look at what it says. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world. In other words, Jesus did not come to condemn, but He came to save. You see, a lot of people, what Satan will do is he'll try to turn around and say, man, God's trying to condemn you to a devil's hell. No, 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 no. Jesus talked more about hell than He talked about heaven, because He didn't want anybody to ever have to go there. Jesus talked about hell, and He talked about, hey, man, it's the last possible place that you would ever want to be. It's nothing but gnashing of teeth and torment and pain and separation from a holy God. He said, man, you wouldn't want anybody to go there. He said, that is the reason I came, so that you don't have to go there. So understand that He loved you so much that He sent His Son to the cross to die so that you might live. So God's not condemning us. But here's the thing, is we choose to ignore or reject the very way to God. Just for God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. And then look at this, it says, but whoever believes in Him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. That's exclusive. That's an exclusive thing to say there. Let's look at the way to the Father here. I'm talking about an exclusive statement. Jesus told him, He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. No one comes to the Father except through Me. Understand what Jesus is saying. Hey, listen, it's not through religious activity. It's not through some other teaching. It's not through being good enough. It's not through just going to church. It's not through whatever. He said, it's not through any other way other than coming through Me. That's an exclusive statement. For a lot of people, it builds kind of a tension there. You're like, whoa, boy, that sure is exclusive. You're exactly right. God the Father made it clear that it's only through the Son. Jesus reiterates it here. He says, it's only through Me. The only way. The Bible says that narrow is the way to heaven. Narrow is the way to God. But broad is the path that leads to destruction. It's so narrow that it's through the one person. It's through the person of Jesus Christ. And if your life is not built on who Jesus is, your life is not built on anything solid. It's on shifting sand. And so if your hope of getting to heaven is by you being good or something else, you have built on shifting sand. But if you build it on the teachings of Jesus Christ, you have built on a solid foundation. So whenever you say, you know what, man, me and my house, kind of like Joshua, me and my household, as for me and my household, we will honor God. We will live for God. We will stand on the Word of God. We will stand on who Jesus is. And so, mom and dad, let me just say this to you. If you want to build a solid home, build it on the teachings of Jesus Christ. Build it on the person of Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you go, you know, I'm not a mom or a dad, let me just tell you this. If you want relationships to last, build them on the Word of God. Build them on the truth of God's Word. Build them on a solid foundation. Let me go back and read the resurrection passage up here from Luke. It says, but very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared, and they found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. So they went in, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. As they stood there, puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified and bowed with their faces to the ground. And then the men asked, why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Remember what he told you back in Galilee? See, I hope if nothing else, you walk out of here today, you're going to remember what was said today. You're going to remember the teachings of Jesus. And what the angel is saying to the ladies, hey, remember what he said? That the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would rise again on the third day. It says, and then they remembered that he had said this. See, my prayer for everyone in this room is that you'll remember what Jesus said. You may walk out of here today and you may forget a lot of things that you've seen, a lot of things that you've heard. But my prayer is that you'll remember that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father except through him. Maybe you'll remember that, you know what, there's nothing that you can do to earn it or to qualify. It's not by being good enough. It's not by going to church enough. It's by putting your faith in who Jesus is and what he's done on the cross. And that you would not only hear it, but that you would apply it. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise. Like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the wind beats against the house, it won't collapse because it is built on a bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish. Like a person who builds a house on sand. What kind of foundation do you have in your home? What kind of foundation do you have for your relationships? Have you just heard the word of God and turned away? Or have you heard the word of God and applied it to your life? These are just cornerstones. The most important commandment, love God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. A new commandment, love others the way that God loves us. Christ's mission, he has come to set the captives free. No matter what you're caught up in, no matter what the addiction might be or the bondage may be, he has come to set you free. Caring for the needy, that whenever we minister to those who have or have none or go without, we're literally ministering to Christ. Self-sacrifice, that's me dying to self and thinking about others, and thinking about God. The Great Commission, we all have a responsibility to share the good news, the hope of the world. This past week, we've been challenging people to share their story, and one of our staff, Kendra Burgess, posted on Facebook her testimony. And I thought it was powerful just to see how she worded it. She did it so eloquently. But she shared her story of how God's changed her life. See, all of us have got friends around us that need to hear how God can change their life and their circumstances. We all have a responsibility to the Great Commission. Jesus taught about the love of the Father. Man, he loves us enough that he sent his only Son to die for us. And then Jesus told us the way to the Father. It's through him. There's no other way. And so I pray that you'll remember what Jesus said. You'll remember what he said. You'll hear it and apply it and follow it. Let's pray. You may be here today and you've heard all that before. But you've never applied the truth of God's word to your life. Maybe it's time for change. Maybe it's time for an adjustment. Maybe it's time for surrender. Maybe it's time to die to self. Maybe it's time to experience the power of the resurrection. The power of a living God working in you. The power of the resurrection working in you. Maybe that's your need today. Maybe today you need Jesus. We all need Jesus. But maybe today you choose to accept him. I want to give you an opportunity to do that. Maybe for the first time you realize, man, I've heard a lot of this before, but I've never really followed it, never really applied it. But man, I want that to change. I want to live for Christ. Maybe you hear and you realize, you know what, man, I need Jesus in my life. I want Jesus in my life. I want Him to be Lord of my life. And so, like what Jesus said, you don't want to experience hell. You want to experience heaven. And that's a need that you have. You might say, well, how do you do that, Mike? It's as simple as this. It's as simple as saying, Jesus, I believe that You are the way, the truth, and the life, just like Scripture says. I believe that You can save me. And Jesus, I'm asking You to forgive me of my sins. I confess to You that I'm a sinner. I've sinned, and I have walked a long way away from You. Jesus, will You forgive me? And His answer is yes, He will. So Jesus, I want You to teach me how to live for You. I want to be a disciple. I want to follow You. I want to repent. I want to quit living the way I've been living. I want to live for You. Jesus, will You teach me? And His answer is yes. He'll change you from the inside out. In a moment. In a moment.